Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast, Prospect One. Hello, friends. I'm Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. That's the same as the Instagram. Of course, all the social medias, we try to keep it pretty much the same. That's where you can find me. Follow today. Also, check me out over at InThisLeague.com, where finally, we have got some rank updates for you. Yes, that is correct. Top 500 prospects, top 400 dynasty. I had to remember how much dynasty it was. Also, the top 200 P180P is available. Yes, it's a prospect ADP. This time of year, what's probably pretty good about it is a prospect value chart, though of course things change up and down but relatively dramatically as people kind of overreact or underreact or however you want to say it. In season, this is a good barometer for the value, the overall prospective value of at least the top 200 prospects overall in Dynasty. That is available on the Patreon today. Plus, you can get in the Prospect One GroupMe rooms. You can hang out, do breaks with us, get into other sports, and just know you are literally supporting me and my work because I do not get paid by Patreon because that is for the people that sign up. So In This League and everything I do with Prospect One, completely independent. So thank you very much for your support, and that's why we like to try to do a bunch of cool stuff, and that is what we have got over there. And thank everybody for adjusting a little bit later than usual, but you know, the chaos of the world continues with sick kids and animals passing away and just the overall chaos of still just the adjusting. I was able to spend a lot of time, and it's a little bit cheating too, because this is representative of like the start of the season. So there's a little bit of a cheat that is in there because we also are resetting. We're going to be resetting from here on out the in-season side of the rank. So all my ranks, if you're not familiar with them, I got a lot of different there's the tabs, but there's also the different cells. So you've got the rank, the name, the team, the when they'll start MLB-wise, position, age. When it's relevant, I put if they're a draft prospect. And then I will also put the rank since the last update. And then the rank since the start of a portion of the season. So whether it's the off season or the beginning of the season. So you can not just see the most recent update differential. You can see how it's gone the whole time. I'm telling you all this because the start of the season begins now. That is where that's going to go. So that is going to completely reset. And that's where the cheat is a little bit because I've gotten, you know, even more than, you know, just like minor league spring training, we had the first week or so of AAA, 2 weeks actually, and a little bit of the other portions of the season. We've got to see, you know, some of the like aggressive assignments that have happened. We've gotten to see some production.
So it is a little bit of a cheat overall, but I do think it kind of just like boosts up the rank update overall. And the only weird one about it is we already have a ton of graduations. So, you know, the top two players are gone off the list. Gunnar Henderson, Corbin Carroll have exhausted prospect eligibility. Josh Young has, Tristan Casas has. That's a lot of guys that are like right inside the top 20. So there's going to be some big movement. And by the time we do it next month, which I promise you will be earlier, we're going to have multiple other names on it. We might have a dramatically looking different top 10 when that comes, because you've got Anthony Volpe, you've got Jordan Walker, and you got Miguel Vargas, who are probably all going to exhaust that as well. So, I mean, that's five or six of the top 10. So, you know, it's a wild thing. I am enjoying it, though. I'm digging it. And it's going to be very exciting to really have a little bit bigger sample sizes. I'm going to talk to you about a few things today, but I'm going to also, as much as I can, try to shy away. We're not going to do a whole bunch of like, here's what's happened in the last week or so, because we get to talk about the P1 ADPs, which is good. Because if we need a little bit more, now you go in and you start sorting stats and stuff like that, and you see this pitcher had one game, you know, played, and this hitter's had 19 at bats. Here's a prime example, and I feel bad because he must have been getting chirped or just something about it. But like, Drew Jones has had a bad start to the year, and he knows it because he sent out a tweet where he was like, "I know I'm not hitting right now," and this is kind of a bummer because, you know, that extended spring training period, he kind of like lit up for everybody. That was the first game he made this amazing catch, but he had those at bats against Shohei Ohtani and that hit, which got a lot of people excited and a lot of people worked up. Hey, here you go. You know, showing the opposite field ability for contact, which he is doing right now, but he is not seeing the ball very well. He has one hit in 19 at bats as I'm recording this. He has a singular RBI and he has 10 strikeouts in 19 at bats. And I know you could overreact to this. And I'll even tell you this. I had this moment where I was staring at this and I was like, man, Jackson Holliday's hitting. Jackson Holliday looks great right now. 400 batting average, 8 RBI. He struck out only 3 times in 20 at bats. And, you know, I'm a Drew Jones over Jackson Holliday guy. I know there's people that were Jackson Holliday over him, and that's okay. And those people would just, they'll feel justified. They'll feel good about it. But what I'm trying to remember, and you should remember, we all should, is the difference here is Jackson Holliday got to play 2 levels in his professional debut. He got to go to rookie ball, and then he got to go to A ball. So this is actually a repeating of A ball for him. And he is answering all the calls, which is awesome. Drew Jones did not get that. You know, Drew Jones missed everything, and he missed instructs time, and he missed a lot of critical time that did not really start until the beginning of this year. It's not an excuse, and we may be having this conversation in a couple months or a month or so. We might have this conversation where we really have to look and say, Drew is not maybe the offensive guy that we thought he was, but it is way too early to make that distinction. Way too early. I mean, seeing the live pitching that he's seeing right now, like really not just his own teammates live pitching, but you're seeing like, you know, outside your organization live pitching, and you're seeing real good work against.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Tim, you know, in extended spring training and stuff like that, you can get guys that are, you know, just trying to pump fastballs or just trying to work on a changeup. You're not getting that. You're getting guys that want to get you out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh.
They are doing their best as you are doing your best, obviously. So the competitive nature is a little bit different, and he looks awful right now. But he took to Twitter to acknowledge that, and I'm not going to make any move. I'm not going to touch him. I actually did move Jackson Holliday up a little bit. Part of that was due to graduations, but it's also that clump of pitchers, and like Andrew Painter is a prime example of why, you know, the no pitching prospect type of stuff. But Jackson Holliday looks so good. I wanted to move him up a notch, but I'm not going to touch Drew Jones. So next week we'll feel better when we've got, you know, more at bats. We've got 2 weeks of at least of like low A and high A and double A and stuff, and even more of triple A. We'll really be able to dig into that. The same thing happened with looking over when I was doing Rates and Barrels on the, I do a prospect, Project Prospect. I do every Tuesday with DVR and Eno, and sometimes it might be like me and one of them. And this week we took a look at AAA Stuff Plus numbers, and Eno's metric for Stuff Plus, he touts obviously, and the accuracy of it. It's really a good measurement of, you know, what overall stuff does. The results are a little bit different. And I was kind of digging in on Eno too, to figure out like, there's this interesting conversation where he was citing the article about Stuff Plus, in that like Location Plus takes a long time to kind of like put together, but also can maybe be a little bit more dismissive. I wonder, and there's really no way until they have like a lot more data, and this is like the first year they're getting full AAA because there's StatCast data everywhere, AAA data, but I wonder if something like Location Plus could be way more important at the lower levels. Doesn't seem to necessarily be at the higher levels, but if we should be paying attention to Stuff Plus and Location Plus, maybe more, maybe less, maybe it's even less, or, you know, who knows? But the point again, we sat there and we were dissecting one or maybe two starts on a player, what their Stuff Plus looked like. People were freaking out about Gavin Stone because he was super low down the list. Brandon Pfaadt was under 100. 100 is like, you know what, you know, 100 is good. You want that above. Anything lower, you start to question. And the guys that were up at the top were Simeon Woods Richardson, who was the best. He had the number one Stuff Plus. Kyle Harrison was hilarious because Kyle Harrison was number two best Stuff Plus. He's got his ass lit up. Two starts. He has not reached three innings combined over two starts. And we're talking about how, you know, he probably had to throw a lot more fastballs and the fastball graded out really high. These are all things that, you know, that I'm just throwing at you as far as sample size when we're getting names thrown at us and it's this and this guy moves up and stuff. It's really important to obviously pay attention to big positive, big negatives, but to make big moves, it's a little dangerous. It's a little dangerous right now, especially in like a trade market type of stuff. That's why you should sit back, watch, you know, if you do believe in the high end of some guys, you know, go and buy and get your opportunities. You know, if you believe, I mean, that's also something about Kyle Harrison. He's gotten lit up in the last two starts, yet his Stuff Plus is so high. If people are freaking out, that might be a barrier for you to go and buy on him and buy him cheap. On the inverse, you know, if someone looks at Simeon Woods Richardson and sees the highest Stuff Plus, and, you know, maybe you need to get a few more starts in to have things level out and you overpay, that could be difficult. But all of this stuff is good. It's good to look at. It gets my brain going, watching video. I'm trying to pick out starts. Only so many games you can watch. Pick out starts, go back, watch them. And then we can kind of put those with some of the numbers and really start putting the valuation in. So next week, we're going to have a guest on. We'll talk about all that. It should be muy bueno. Very, very good. And we will talk about some of the sample sizes and where we're going. And maybe I'll even fish out a few comments of like worries or buys. I think actually would be great. I'll put that on the Patreon for next week and me and the guest can answer that. A couple, you know, I'll see who gets the most voted for, but you guys can put out a couple guys you're most interested in buying right now and most freaking out about, and we'll discuss that. But today on the episode, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the P1 ADPs because they have been completed. The data has been rolled out, and that will be on the rank sheet here. And what I've got for you today is I've got for you some trends on this. So I'm not going to give you the actual ADP. You can go back and look. But I am going to give you names that are going to jump out to you. As such, I've got the top 10 players that move the most from the last update, which was in December, to March. These are the top 10 players that moved up, and then I've got the top 10 players that moved down. The top 10 players that moved up, a lot of these, I think actually all but four, I think moved into the top 100. That were out, they're all outside the top 100 in December. The guys that moved up, way outside. These are all the ones that moved up, but they all had at least a 50. Well, actually, these are just the pure top 10. I forgot. These are the pure top 10, and I got the pure top 10 up and down bar none. Boom. The other list I have is I've got the outside the top 100 last time that are now inside of it, and they had to at least have a 50 spot jump. And I've got, I think I actually have more than 10 here. See, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, so I won't give you those last two names. I'll just put those aside. But I've got the 10 names for you that were dramatically outside the top 100, or they just moved really big into it. The other portions of the list, I've got one player. Here's the tease for the episode. Only one player was drafted by all the industry guys. Everybody. Only one, and that tends to be the thing. Only one player got unanimous drafting from all industry-based people, because the P180Ps have, you know, so we're four and five industry-based type people that are drafting, and then it's with like hardcore Dynasty guys, people on our Patreon. Only one player was drafted by all five. We have only three players that were drafted by four of the five were industry people. And then I've got a list of guys that fell outside the top 200, but were drafted by a single industry person. And you would be surprised. There's actually nine of those players. Nine players that only one person in the whole thing took them, and they were an industry guy. You guys, I thought, might be into those. So those are the different pieces I have taken out of some of the P180Ps. And then I'm going to also give you my my five up, which I kind of done for a long time. Five prospects that are kind of moving up the list. I'm very interested in right now, watching five guys to pay attention to. That's going to be at the end of the episode. And those are all the things that we are going to do on this fine episode. So I figured that would be good to go. And of course, you know, the P180Ps, it's not broken out how I'm putting it, but they've got, you know, all the differences from all the drafts. You can also see all the people that took said player, which I think is probably valuable. So you could go and, you know, just scour through and Jeff Ponce, what did Jeff take? Who did James take? Who did Chris Blessing take? Whatever. Favorite person, you can go and look. There were also a lot of guys that were taken by three or more industry. And that might be really fascinating to go and kind of pick apart those. And you'll also see my name pop up once or twice. I had to kind of take over for a team or two, as our admin Jesse Severe had to do as well. So you might see a little bit of that, but just be on the lookout, pay attention. Dig through those, and you can find it on the Patreon. And shout out to Jesse Severe. Literally could not do these things without him. He is the host of Dynasty Sports Life, which you guys should go and check out, subscribe to. Just set up an application process for a four-sport league. If you followed me, you know I play a three-sport league. He's doing that. And that podcast is dedicated to all major four-sport Dynasty talk. So, you know, there is baseball, but it's not every single week. But it's a great show, so go and check it out. And obviously, go support Jesse Severe. Let us dig in to prospecty things, my friends. Let's dig in, too, so I can get to watching some games. As I'm recording this on Thursday, there's a killer slate of pitchers going today. So much so that I'm going to be going back at night and watching a whole bunch of these. I suggest you do the same if you've got MILB.TV. But a bunch of good dudes going today. Tink Hentz is going. There's a AA, I felt, just had like five or six major prospects going. So going to go and dig in, check out all those guys, and hopefully it'll be stuff that we talk about next week, as we're talking about some of the most interesting prospects. And there are a bunch of interesting ones here from the P180Ps, and let's do it right after this.
Say, I like you. I like you so much, I'm going to make you my partner. All you have to do is find the gold, and I'll share it with you 50-50.
Prospect one.
P180P mocks a top 200 ADP, usually 4 to 5 to 6, somewhere between 4 and 6 drafts whenever I do these. And we use it as an ADP. What's fun about this one is encompassing three different drafts. It's encompassing August, December, and March. And it is creating one big ADP.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Where are we gonna go?
Someplace warm. A place where the beer flows like wine. Where beautiful women instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano. I'm talking about a little place called
In This League.
That's the overall ADP. If you would like, though, you can go and sort the most recent one. So you don't actually have to go by, you know, what my ADP ends up looking like. That is, I mean, because that technically, like 15, 16 drafts now over a 6 month period that created this. That's why, like, the more that we do this, the data gets better. It does reset. We'll probably do one more, and then it kind of resets until the end of the year. And that's when the new ADP starts over. But we've got three of these, and you can sort by any one. You can look at just March and see how it's different. And March is, you know, I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about it, looking at this, they're all just so uniquely different. So I'm actually, I get super intrigued by a player that, like, doesn't move. I'll give you one. Ellie De La Cruz just doesn't move. He was 5.5 in August, 6.4 in December, and 6.4 in March. That is, and that's a top 10 guy. You know, you could say the same thing about, like, Jordan Walker. Jordan Walker was 3.8, 3.8, and then 2.8. So he went up a little bit. But, like, Ellie does not move. But if, you know, you start to scroll down trying to find players that kind of stick into their play. Like, here's one. Ezekiel Tovar. Ezekiel Tovar was 12 in August. Then he went to 11 in December. And weirdly enough, in March, he dropped down to 18, even though he kind of had the gig. But that's a guy that has really kept his value. Zach Veen is another one. 23.8 in August, 24 in December, which is kind of weird because that was after the AFL when he was popping. And then 28. There's another one. So, you know, seeing guys that can keep consistency kind of shows you where everybody's value has stuck. Yet there are players that have wild swings on this. And it's also, you know, it's really a telling sign of the crazy swings that are fantasy baseball prospecting. You know, there are swings, and that's why, you know, some people specialize in kind of like a what's hot now chart. And I think that is valuable in a lot of cases. I don't think it, for some people, they don't like it, but I think some people only like that. You know, some people only want to know what is the process now and how can I jump on it? Where, you know, I tend to be a lot more like long gated. You could have looked at my list, you know, 2 years ago, now, and, you know, a year ago, and then now. And a player could have had wild just ups and off lists, on lists, others, and they might have just had this like really even swing where we've all gotten to the same spot. But obviously I'll miss on some of these. But these drafts are quintessential to the insane swings of prospects where sometimes it acknowledges the growth of a player and it just jumps. Like the one I'm looking at right now was Connor Norby. You know, Connor Norby is one of those guys where it's just like he was, where'd he go? Here he goes. In August, he was like 177 when we did this. So this was like near the end of the season, you know, right at the end of the season, the minor league season and stuff like that. I guess it's like, yeah, it's like August, it's like September. And we do that right at the end. And he was like 177. Well, when we do it in December, bam, 35. And then this one, boom, 39. You know, so that acknowledges the major boost. But then there's progression, and a great example of progression is Junior Caminero, who was like 153 in August, 100 in December, 49.8 in March. That is progression, and that's what's cool about these. It will show those swings, and I've pieced together, these are some stats from this, if you will, and let's take a look at these. You guys want to get the list, go to InThisLeague.com. You can see all of it. You can peruse. You can keep it as a tool. And luckily, it's got multiple drafts. And frankly, my prospect list, I also have 3 years worth. So you could take all 3 years, put it in, and you could like see the, I should probably actually do that. Have like a cool graph of the swing of prospects over time and stuff like that. But what I've done today is I've pieced just some of the stats here. And let's start with 10 players that moved up. These are the 10 most aggressive jumps up in the March rank update. And the first player is a surprise, isn't a surprise, but the reason for the jump is because he was not drafted inside the top 200 on the last one. In fact, looking at this, compared to December, there are three players that were not drafted. No, I'm sorry, two players that did not register as top 200 ADP guys last time that are inside of this now, but number one wasn't eligible, Ethan Salas. Ethan Salas, obviously not eligible until the March one. We couldn't draft him in December, so he never qualified. I'm going to tell you, I mean, I'm just going to have to give this away because this is what this is. I think this is one of the craziest things that happened. I wasn't expecting this because obviously I want to be the Ethan Salas guy. I tried to be early on and tried to, you know, scream from the rooftops as much as I could. And I told you guys early on, I moved him inside the top 100. A Pipeline actually just did that. They just announced, because someone, I think it was Casas, came off and they're like, here's our new addition, Ethan Salas. And that was something I tried to do, I think, in the February update. Well, the P180P drafters were having none of it. And they said, no, Welsh, you will be beat. With an ADP of 48.6, that is a 150 spot jump. 151.4 to be exact, from 200, from irrelevancy or whatever it was, and whoever was paying attention to it. But, you know, I think the combo of obviously this being my thing, which boosts him up a bit, but also that, you know, everybody else kind of came in the article about Hall of Fame and seeing him as a 16-year-old in spring training games and having guys like, you know, like Josh Norris jump on it and just having all these people getting very hyper-focused on Ethan Salas, everybody got to be presented with really how exciting this guy is. What is a really fun question about all of this? At what point is his best value? Someone had presented this in the Prospect One GroupMe rooms. I don't think, usually it's very dramatic. Some of these guys can be very dramatic about it, being like, well, I think he's a sell. Like, I think that's how it was more presented, instead of this very nuanced, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's more like, no, he's a sell. And it's actually a pretty good question, though, if you really start to dissect it, because a 16-year-old catching prospect going from a value point of a top 50 overall prospect in a matter of a month with no play time, it's pretty unheard of. It's pretty unheard of. On my prospect list, let me look at the ADP, because I'm not looking at the ADP. I want to say there are three catchers. Oh, I don't have the positional stuff on here. I should, because I want to see how many catchers. There's one. We're just going to count live here. Two. Is that real? We got to be missing one of these guys. No, that's crazy. There are only two. Let me do a search here, because where is Harry Ford? Harry Ford is going behind him. There are only two catching prospects in baseball valued higher, according to the P180Ps, than Ethan Salas. So, like, even I have to acknowledge, if that is the current state of his value as a top 50 prospect, it might be worth, because we know, like, this process takes time. We know, and look yourselves in the mirror, some of you don't have the patience for this. Some of you don't have the stomach for the swings, when they fail, when they're good, when to buy, when to sell. And if you don't have the stomach for it, this might be a time. You know, he's a little out of sight, out of mind right now because he's in extended spring training. So if you're like following waves of, you know, the best times, it actually might not be the greatest time because all the hype is there, but he's kind of like, you know, he's not doing anything. Pipeline putting him on the top 100 actually brings him back up. But still, let's just assume it maybe is. Go and explore. And if you don't have the stomach for it, maybe you could move on. I mean, based on this list, this is saying that, you know, you might be able to get guys like Gabriel Gonzalez or Christian Encarnacion Strand, or technically Harry Ford was after this. And maybe you can consolidate, or maybe you take someone that's in a big rebuild and you could take Ethan Salas. And based on the value here, I mean, that he could probably be one of two centerpieces, let's say, into like a big acquisition. You know, maybe you have, let me just throw some out to you. Maybe you have like Kyle Manzardo. Kyle Manzardo and Ethan Salas. Maybe if you're playing to win now, that can go and get you Paul Goldschmidt, a reliever. Remember, dynasty values and stuff like that. And maybe that's better for you. You can do that. But his value is high. I would argue it's still not the highest it can get. He's 16 years old. If he goes sometime soon and he goes to full season ball and doesn't play rookie ball, Jackson Churi all over again. People are going to remember that, and they're going to boost him up just by virtue. Then imagine if he succeeds, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Top 10 prospect at the end of the year. Without question, if he goes as a 16-year-old, he hits over 300, hits some homers, maybe steals a couple bases, he will be a top 10 overall prospect. It's not even an argument here. That's what will happen. And if that's the case, him being a top 50 guy who's currently in extended spring training, we haven't hit his peak value, but we have hit a peak. And it's just like, where in the investment period do you want to be? Are you going to play the long term? Are you playing the spikes? You know, I don't know what level of spike this is right now, but you know this is a peak. and there's better potential for him to come down a little bit for a bit than anything else. But we know how quickly he can skyrocket. Similar to like the Jason Dominguez stuff. Like I said, last 2 years where everyone's like, oh, screw Jason Dominguez. He's done, blah, blah, blah. And I did argue that and just say, listen, when he does succeed, he's going to rocket unlike anybody else. So everyone else can put him outside the top 100 and stuff like that. But watch what happens when he succeeds. He actually, even though he's super volatile, he's got a floor. It's because he's a Yankees exciting prospect. That floor is just him needing to succeed for a couple months. Noelvi, I don't think has that as much anymore as like a Reds prospect. And I don't know maybe how much people have been burned and stuff like that. Jason does. And that's a whole nother kind of ball game. So you could argue that with Ethan Salas. So that's just me kind of talking out loud about, I think, like the valuation process, but he was number one on the list. Number two, Bryce Miller with the Seattle Mariners. He had him and Ethan Salas were actually the only two players to have a 100 spot jump. But Bryce Miller,
want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com, Signos.com, with code SPARK, Signos.
Was on this list last time. He was not on the August list. He did not get drafted, but he showed up around 180 in December, and he jumped up into the 60s this time. So it was almost a 120-spot jump. For number two on the biggest jumps. Number three is actually there's actually a bunch of AFL guys on here now that I'm looking at this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league
is cooking.
Addison Barger was another one of those. He was 176 in December, 193 in August. So he has always been here, 80 this past round, moving 96 spots up. Even though he had really piss poor AFL, though bigger and big bat speed and stuff like that, you know, people see the writing on the wall. I don't know where he plays, but you know, you see the big production and, you know, these guys that are closer to the majors, you get a lot more analysts that start talking about them. And I think that's a kind of a natural thing. It's kind of natural for AAA prospects, especially with some big numbers, to get even bigger boost because there's a lot more chatter around them. No one's taking the time. You know, we don't take the time on Rates and Barrels to talk about like Ethan Salas. You're talking more about, you know, we looked at AAA plus stuff plus numbers. You know, that tells you the whole story. Addison Barger with a big move. Obviously, power speed combo and having a good start to the year, he moved up inside the top 100. Number four on the way up, Mason Miller, who actually just moved up to AAA, was not in August, was not in December, even though he was hitting 100. Moved, he's actually one of the only two guys on here that's outside the top 100, but he moved 94 spots just outside the top 100. Big fastball slider combo guy, and looks like, you know, if the third pitch is there, he could be a starter. Maybe worst case, he could be a Hunter Green type of player, but he hits triple digits and he's already moved up to AAA, so he should be there pretty soon. He came in at number four, and he was actually one of only two pitchers on this entire list. Three. Bryce Miller, we just talked about. One of only three pitchers that jumped up here. Number five, now we're into the young guys again, Yasser Mercedes. Yasser Mercedes was not in the August draft. He didn't show up. He actually, as I'm looking at this, I even have some of the older ones, like the fall 2021 and February 2022. He wasn't drafted. He was 196 on the August one. Then he moved up to 188, and then he boosted up to 98. And I kind of really jumped on the train of Yasser Mercedes right before I think these ADPs were going down in December. And he's a top 100 guy moving 90 spots up. So that's your top five. Your bottom five, James Outman, who I have moved way up. He is so impressive. Bogman and I, when we went to the Diamondbacks opening day, we were freaking out because we just see this ball just flying. We're walking around the stadium. We're like, who in God's name is this? James Outman, just smashing balls. Big hard hit numbers he can put up, doubles machine. There's homer power in there. There's speed. I really like James Outman. And, you know, shout out to Craig Mish when we did the Fantasy Pros thing, said Fantasy Pros Fantasy Fest. He's like, James Outman, it was his favorite for rookie of the year. Well, I've got him higher than this ADP, but he moved up 87 spots from 177 in December. So he was there. Good on the drafters. Another good reason to check this out. Up to 90 in this March one. So he's a top 100 prospect. I will tell you my rank update. I have him higher. Everson Pereira, who has had quite a swing. Check this out. In fall of 2021, he had a 71 ADP, then 90, then 164 in August, then back to 73. Oh, that's a change. I'm sorry. That's a change. The change from February to August was huge. Then to 160 in December, pretty close, then back down to 74. So that is a woo. That's a stock just up and down volatility. This is the second highest he's been across five ADPs. Fighting for ADPs, we've run 74.6 and 85 spot change. Obviously, James loves him. Big power numbers. There you go. The last three, Josue De La Pala, our boy, baby Yordan, as they call him, apparently, according to Jeff. 135 in December, getting some buzz. I had saw him in Instructs, talked about him a bit. 53 in March update, and that is an 81 spot difference. The final two of the biggest boosters, Jared Schuster. I bet that would look quite a bit different now. He's outside the top 100. Rotation spot hasn't looked good so far. He's had some opportunities. He moved 80 spots up. And shout out, this is an Nate Handy Prospects B-side special. Casey Schmidt, who in August was not drafted or didn't register. 182 in December, 108 in March, for an almost 75 spot jump. Right outside the top 100. So it was Mason Miller, Jared Schuster, and Casey Schmidt of these 10 that were just outside the top 100, but at least 75 spot jumps all the way up in the top 10 that went up. Now, there were some guys that moved down. The top two are weird to me. And actually, number two is the one that Jesse and I were kind of like, what? Like he shared this with me. He's like, did something happen to this guy? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. He's like, well, he is the one of the biggest fallers until we saw this guy. And I don't really have the full register for it. Nick York. Nick York fell the most of any prospect. And I would have actually said I'm shocked that it wasn't Nick Gonzalez, but Nick happened last time, I think, unfortunately. Nick York was the biggest drop this past one because, let me, I got to do this real quick. One thing I do, I freeze the cells. Okay, this would be perfect. Nick York in December was 62. Check this out. Oh my God. Fall of 2021, 30 ADP. February 22, 20 ADP. In August, 35. December, 62. That's just coming right off of the AFL. In March, 178. The biggest fall, one of only two players to have a 100 spot fall. People were done. Guess what though? Nick York might be a buy. Nick York hitting 300 at AA currently this year in only four games. Got a 526 OBP. He has double the walks of strikeouts right now. No homers, but he's hitting very well. He was a freaking doubles machine in the AFL. That was one thing that really stood out to me was I didn't like how he chased a lot of low stuff. He was a low, like real low, real high. He just wasn't able to catch up to, but he was destroying mistakes and hitting doubles like crazy. But hitting over 300 and double walks to strikeouts early on for a guy that fell over 100 spots, people might just not give a crap about him anymore. That might be a buy based on what I'm seeing here. One of the bigger buys. Number two, I'm going to admit here, like I don't understand it, but at the same time, my interest kind of fell. Yet he was great in the AFL, and he's hitting even better than Nick York right now. 108 spot difference, which almost made him jump out of the top 200. Luis Matos. Check out this right here. 22 fall of 21 ADP. February of 22, 22.8. August, 73. December, 89. We've got a slow decline that's happening. And then just complete fall off, 197.4. 108 spots for Luis Matos. And guess what? This year, Luis Matos hitting 368 to start the year. He's in Double A, which last year he did not get to Double A. He got to High. He goes to the AFL, smacks balls around. Guess what he's doing? More walks and strikeouts. He's got a 3.45 slash with a homer. It's only in six games, but higher walk than strikeout with a homer, 3.45 slash, 1,000 OPS, and he almost fell out of the top 200. Not that I'm beating the drum for either one of these guys, but guess what? I think they might be buys because people are over it. Maybe they come up a little bit. Is Luis Matos deserve to be 200? No, it's just prospect fatigue and we're moving up. Like, not only are we moving up the guys that deserve to be, like Junior Caminero and, you know, Anthony Gutierrez and DePaulo, like these guys deserve to be coming up, but people are just moving up a lot of the like first year players. And all this happens where people prioritize, okay, I got to get these guys over here. And you forget like some of these prospects that you're just kind of leaving on the wire. And that's what's happened. That's what I see out of this. Like, those guys just don't deserve to be there. And that's an insane drop overall. Both guys that are playing pretty good. So, you know, keep an eye on that one. Number three was Cody Morris. I think a lot of that had to do to injury. He's kind of been up and down. He fell 93 spots. He's still registered inside the top 200, you know, but the injury kind of took him out. Number four, someone I've never been huge on, but he had a time. And that was around the end of last year where he had a top 100 ADP. Warming Burnable did not register in the top 200 in this past one. The 90 spot difference. He was outside the top 100. He did not register. He's one of three guys on this list that fell out of registering. So he was number four. Number five is Jackson Job. There's another injury based thing here. Jackson Job fell 78 spots. He just barely stuck in. He was outside the top 100. One guy that is gone, Pedro Leon. Pedro Leon had didn't register, but he had a 123 before that. He had a peak. This is another one of those guys, steady decline. 48 in fall of 2021, 78, 85, 123. He gone in March. That is a 76.6 spot drop. Blaze Jordan, that's another one. I think that might be a fatigue thing or disinterest. I don't know. He didn't play that bad. Blaze Jordan, 194.2, 67 spot difference. The final four, Angel Martinez, who was okay in the AFL. I think he played in the Dominican Winter League a little bit. He was all right. He didn't register. 67 spot drop. And then the final two are injuries. Aaron Civale fell outside. He had been 95 in December. He fell down to 162. And then Cade Cavalli, having Tommy John, dropped him from 113 to 176. So 66 and 62 spot drops. That's the top 10. So the ones that stand out to me, Nick York, Matos, and like Blaze Jordan, those really stand out. Angel Martinez, maybe even a little bit too, even though I'm not like, you know, ecstatic about him or anything. Those seem like a couple guys. I'm not sure what all the barrier is. I think of just like boring. I think those guys become boring. Maybe the upside is lopped off for people and you go play a lot of other upside pieces in here, which happens. And I think like, I'm going to look here. Yeah, I see some upside pieces that are happening. I see some of the international guys that showed up in the top 200. I see some AFL guys that jumped up. I see some guys where I'm like, does Carson Williams with Tampa Bay deserve to be 40 spots higher than Luis Matos, 50? I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not really 100% sure that should be. But, you know, it's for you guys to decide, and you guys kind of did in that instance. So those are the top 10 up and the top 10 down. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about players outside the top 100 last time that broke in this time, plus where some of the industry guys were taken in the P1 ADP mocks right here on Prospect One.
Prospect One.
All right, I've got 10 players for you that were not inside the top 100 when we did this in December, who did get inside the top 100 this time and at least had a 50 spot jump. Because there are some players that jumped inside the top 100 that moved like 20 spots. These were the more dramatic moves inside. Now, there are some holdovers. There's a couple of these players that we talked about that you've already heard, so we won't go too crazy into this, but the biggest move from the respect of how high they are. This is the player that is the highest of all those, though I guess he didn't have the biggest jump, but the highest of any of these players that was outside the top 100 last time, Miguel Blaze. Miguel Blaze with the Boston Red Sox inside the top 50, and he was outside the top 100 the last time. So it's a pretty big jump here. Also, not showing off a bunch of big counting stats, but having a good start to the minor league season, hitting over 300. Looks like he got bigger in the offseason. He's really athletically impressive, and it is a little bit lazy, but I feel like there's this clump of these guys where it's like Caminero, DePaula, Blaze, Gutierrez, Mercedes. They all kind of like sit in this clump of these like next guys that we're all waiting to go. But Blaze seems to be the biggest one. He is based on the ADPs. And Boston kind of helps a lot of Boston prospect people out there that play, but very, very minimal to make it like a big thing. But he's into that. Number two, Junior Caminero, who I just spoke of. Outside the top 100, though he was higher than Miguel Blaze last time, he was just behind Blaze, also a top 50, inside the top 50, moving a bunch of big spots. Caminero, Blaze, the two biggest, I think, impactful.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Now, the rest of these guys are outside the top 50, but they actually, almost all of them, made bigger moves technically than Blaze and Caminero. Number three, Baby Yordan. Osue De La Pala, who was just around the top 150, moved outside the top 50 for this one. And I'm going to go over to Dodgers camp. I've been insanely crazy busy for the last like week and a half. I haven't got to go to any extended spring training, but extended spring training officially started today as I'm talking to you, that I am going to go and see, because I believe he's, from what I've been told, he's staying back and then he's going to play in rookie ball. But I think he's the type of guy that could play in extended spring training and he could move up way before rookie ball. But I want to go and see him play in some extended spring training games right outside the top 50. The two times I've seen him in any action on the backfields this spring, he's looked great. I'm just stinging balls, hit this great double that I was being a dummy trying to take a quick picture then video. First pitch in, crushes it to right field, would have been the best video, and I stupidly didn't get it. DePaula is on the huge, huge rise up. I wonder though, and you put it out here, it's like a poll question. Maybe I'll put it out there in some capacity. Who do you think is at peak value right now? Ethan Salas or DePaula? And maybe there's a couple ways to phrase it. Like, you know, how someone said like, you know, Salas's value will never be higher or something like that. Could that be with DePaula too? You know, those guys are right next to each other. He's a little bit, tiny bit lower than Salas, but they're right near each other. I feel like people would say Salas because he's a catcher and they would feel like DePaula hasn't even tapped into like the mainstream, like, because Ethan Salas is more mainstream than DePaula. So maybe that would alter it a little bit, but I wonder like, who would you rather invest in right now at cost? Maybe that's the way to say it. You got to pay a top 50 price. Is it Salas or DePaula? Those guys are very close to each other. He's made a major move. Bryce Miller, who we talked about outside the top 100, he had the biggest move inside of anybody. 117 spots, of course, we talked about. He was number four on this list. Garrett Mitchell, outside the 130 last time, right outside the top 60 this time. He made a big jump in. Stolen bases, he's hitting the ball up in the air now, which is pretty great. So the contact stuff is playing into the power, which is making him, you know, he's making him a really, really positive fantasy option where he looked like he might have been kind of, you know, dead in that spot.